Let's try that. Who does God have to bless?
Me.
Because he gave you the ability, the power to obtain and create wealth to establish the covenant. And we're not even into my message yet. I'm just kind of stirred by how dark my saints are feeling. Oh, no, I'm smiling. I'm not talking about what you're showing me. I'm talking about what's really in there. And I'm smiling because I'm in my friend's pulpit. And when I leave, he's going to love me more than he loves me right now. Because hurt people hurt people. And when people get hurt at church, they go to hell. And we still believe in hell, right? I'm just making sure. I know some people don't believe in hell no more, but I do. Why do you believe in hell? Because it keeps me honest. Like some people just, if there wasn't a hell, I'd still want to do right most of the time. But there have been a few people. There's like I've just wanted to take White out and fix parts of the Ten Commandments because like God, I gotta go. But you get to leave here as bearers of light because God's word is true. I just need to check something real quick. And can you unmute my computer for me when you get a chance? Just making sure it was there because you just never know. Because sometimes you feel like hollering. And I want Bishop to be able to be Bishop. So right there, that's the hollering sound if you grew up in Pentecost. Because when you hear that, you want to holler. But we got to lay foundation first. So if you would, open your Bibles to Mark 11. It's a familiar passage. And we're going to take a slightly different angle. Ooh, got pretty fonts and everything. Your Bishop and I met in Texas, at Pastor Walter Hallam's church, a man that both of us consider to be a real apostle in our time. I love Pastor Hallam. Y'all at a Mark 11:23, and we're gonna go to verse 25. Now, this is the verses that Dr. Hagen wrote in the Bible. Now, if you grew up in the Pentecostal or charismatic way, a lot of folks think that before Dad Hagen started teaching, Mark 11:23 did not exist. No, it was there. And I think is any of y'all carrying King James Bible still or anything that I call? See, a real Bible's got the stuff in red that's important.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if your Bible does not have that in red, then what you're reading is fun. Go get you a different Bible. I'm sorry, I forgot, we're Pentecostals. Yeah, 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 thus saith the Lord, my sheep. I speak to you from the mountains. I speak from you to you from the valleys. Go get a Bible. If you go back to verse 23 for a second, and we're going to read that together. Well, why are you turning around? Because I want to. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, when ye pray, so when you pray, believe that you receive. When do you believe that you receive it?
When you pray.
When you pray. Oh, okay. And ye shall have it. So when do you believe?
When you pray.
When it shows up?
Nope.
When they stop drinking?
Nope.
When they get up out of the bed?
Nope.
When you got the pay raise?
Yes, sir.
When they throw away the divorce papers?
Yes, sir.
No, when do you receive it?
When you pray.
Okay, go on to verse 25. This is the fun part. Because the other part is like the hooping part. We'll skip all that because I got to lay hands on people. And when ye stand praying, I just want to make sure that's the same in everybody's Bible. And when ye stand praying, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Okay, now put a pin there. Go to Psalm 30. See, this is the part that people get excited about. But we're going to come back to verse 25, and then you're not going to like me as much, but you're going to get free. Today, anybody remember Vicks Formula 44 or Robitussin? Yeah, anybody remember any of that? Syrup of black drouth in castor oil. It tastes horrible, but it worked. Some of them old stuff that your grandma get to cooking, and it's like you smelled garlic and onions and like rare herbs you had never seen before, but you felt better the next day. But when it was happening, you were like, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? But you took it, and you got better. No one else? Am I the only country person up here? Where you, here, just drink some pickle juice. It'll fix it. But grandma, my stomach is sick. Here, take some pickle juice. But my stomach is sick. Baby, take this pickle. And you do it, and you sit there go, oh, God, please. Oh, well, thank you, Grandma. I feel much better now. Now, y'all want to have fun, you want to get free. Which one? Tell me.
Get free.
Okay, then we'll save, because we're about to. Would you say chicken? Who said chicken? Because I heard chicken. Now, we at Psalm 30. I'm going to change the version, because my computer likes you guys so much that I just changed my Bible versions. At least now I know what that button does now. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Whose foes are not rejoicing over them? Yours. Your foes. Who are your enemies? Anybody that's your enemy. If they're not for you, they are against you. There are no neutral people on this planet. If you're writing things down, there are no neutral people on this planet. Oh, I got 1,000 Facebook friends. No, you don't. You have as many people that were at your house on Christmas. How many people ate Christmas dinner with you? How many people have held your hair when you pooped? How many people mopped up the excess? Anybody? Those are your friends. Who knows your deepest, darkest secret, but it's never been on social media? Who would call your spouse if you were out tipping? That's your friend. Hey, let's go for a ride. If you're a man and your wife had broke down the side of the road, how many men would you trust to take her home? Those are your friends. How many women can you trust at your house to go pick up something when your husband's home? Those are your friends. Everybody else? Foe. God has friends. God has foes. You have friends and you have foes. Why do we have to get people born again and lead them to Jesus? So that we have more friends. We're either fighting together or they're fighting against us. Well, what's the us? The kingdom of God. If they're not thinking kingdom, they are an enemy.
Oh, you mean the Muslim?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. When we had hurricanes, the Muslims are sending food. They're bringing it to churches so we can get it out. Kingdom thinking. Talking about how we must serve our God. It's like, wait. But then my charismatic friends down the street, we're saying, don't bring those people here because they're going to mess up our floors. Enemies of the cross. Because guess what makes it into the paper? The fact that we're feeding people together or the fact that the pastor shut the door? Which one makes Jesus look bad? Having us grab the hands of our brothers and sisters to feed the homeless of our region, or having us have doctrinal fights over things that do not matter when it comes to heaven and hell? You tell me. But my enemies don't get to triumph over me. Everyone who is speaking evil of you now, they will not win. I don't even answer my enemies anymore. They're a footstool. You ever stub your toe? Yeah. Who stubbed your toe? The end of the bed? End of the bed, stub your toe? Hit that toe right next to the pinky toe? Not the pinky toe, but that one next to it? I'm speaking from personal experience right now. We got my testimony. I don't know how I did that, but it hurt that toe next to the pinky toe so much that the other one thought it was hurt. Bishop, they're laughing at my pain. I see what kind of Christians you are. See, I thought we were friends and we were making progress and we were going to get freedom, but no, we're going to be foes apparently, because y'all laughing because y'all haven't had pain until you weighed 260 pounds and try to walk on a toe. Because all my weight, because every time you go to push off, you forget until the next step, and then you forget again. It's like, babe, I don't think I can preach this week. I'm just going to sit down because everything I thought was angry. I'm up in the pulpit looking at folks sitting down. It's like, y'all just sitting there. They're like, doing what, Pastor? No, you're sitting there and I'm standing here and I'm heavy, which is my own fault. Nobody's fault but my own. But the corner of your bed is not your enemy. Who hurt my toe? I did. I, in my flesh, will not triumph over me in my soul. I'll repeat that because we're going somewhere. I, my flesh, will not triumph over I, my soul. Because in this fight of faith, your flesh will talk to you when they call you with the report about your brother. Because, you know, I've had some brother reports. They called my, see, I'm getting choked up. And see, we're back to being friends again. So don't just get my defenses down and then laugh at my pain. Can we play that way? Okay. My brother got diagnosed with leukemia. And he called me, and I was God's man of might and faith on the phone. Oh, brother, God is a healer. He sent his word, and he healed them. Healing is the children's bread. I'm on my way. I'm going to lay hands on you, and we're going to see what our God does on the phone. Then I hung up the phone. Y'all know that sound that men don't make after 13? There's a sound when you cry when you're a kid that's okay, but after 13, you can't make that sound no more. Yeah, that's the sound I made crying on the way to my brother's house as I'm crying out to God, going, God, you've used me from coast to coast to lay hands on everybody else's, and they got healed, and you're going to let mine have cancer? It doesn't make sense to me, but I know you're a healer. So I'm asking you now, heal my brother. Then I pulled up at his house, flipped down the visor. Praise God, there was a mirror there because I got big nostrils. Some of y'all got little nostrils. You don't understand. Y'all can ignore what I'm about to say. But when you got big nostrils, you got to make sure, especially when you're tall. You don't want people to reject the anointing over hygiene issues. Well, I got my mints in my pocket, so it should be nice and minty when we get there. And I went in the house, laid hands on my brother, and we fought a fight and we won. He's at home right now waiting on the report. But I could not let my flesh win the victory. There's times at 2 o'clock in the morning, if you've ever been through a trial with somebody, where you get tired. And the flesh starts telling them, I'm going home. Because we spend a lot of time in ICUs, ERs, hospice. That's just what we do. It's part of who we are. Some people are mall cops in ministry. Other people are Marines or Rangers. We're Marines and Rangers. Where other folks won't go, we go. And sometimes about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when they're tired, they go, I'm going home. Now, going to heaven is not a punishment. It is receiving our reward. On any job, there's a point when you can get enough time in where you can just retire early and cash out. Sometimes people do that. Don't get mad at them. They're in heaven waiting on you. Just be upset that they got to go before you did. We shouldn't rejoice for the ones that went to heaven. We should not weep for the one who went to heaven. We should weep for ourselves that we're still here. Why? Because heaven's amazing. But if we let our flesh tell us, we'll come up with a wonderful narrative that makes for wonderful cards. You know, in the condolence section, we have that one calla lily with the dewdrops on it and some verse that has nothing to do with faith. If we take something out of context from Lamentations and put it under a calla lily, as the calla lily weeps one tear, and then we buy it because we're Christians, because we didn't read our Bibles and listen to our bishop. Moving forward, because our foes don't get to rejoice over us, external or internal. The president's required to defend us against all foes, foreign and domestic. Congress is supposed to defend us against all foes, foreign and domestic. How much more so in the kingdom of God? Because the Apostle Paul said there's a war in my members. But we'll get to that in a second. Verse 2, please. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast what? Okay. All right. He healed us. Okay, verse 3. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive. Thou, that I should not go down to the pit. Where don't we go? Stop feeling bad for yourself. It happened. It isn't happening. It just happened. Anything that you can put past tense, happened. It is not happening. Why do you bring that up? There's several people in this room that got molested when you were a kid, and it's ruined every relationship you've had ever since then. I can't believe you said that in church. Why not? It throws off everything. You can't connect with your pastor because he's a man. So you don't trust him because you know what men do. No, that happened. It is not happening. God has already healed you. You don't get to go to the pit over and over and over and over again. Because I'm told that I was crucified with... So, my soul from the grave, Jesus went for you. Thou hast kept me alive because we're resurrected in Christ. That I should not go down to the pit because he already went to hell and fought that fight. So if he fought that fight in the pit, why are we going through hell every day reliving what happened? Because if you are a Houston Texans fan, if you are, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love you special. Got a special word coming for you. Your season's over because of something that happened. Now, right now, we're to the playoffs, but for everybody that's not in the game right now, their record is 0-0. Nothing's happened in their future yet, but they're gearing up for it. The Dallas Cowboys quarterback, who sings Christian songs on the sideline. I do not like the Cowboys at all, one bit, not at all. But their quarterback serves our same Jesus. I know he's about to sit me down, and I'll tell you why over lunch. Because over lunch, I'll tell you why me and the Cowboys can't get along. They made some decisions after Tom Landry got fired that it separated me from the pack. It happened, yeah, but they're still living in sin. So they're... And what fellowship shall light and dark have together? Yeah, they went back to the pit. Verse 4, please. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Now, whose saints are you? So we're saints of the Democratic Party? We're saints of the Republican Party? We're Green Party saints. We're conservative saints, we're liberal saints. Whose saints are we? Oh, my Lord. And give thanks at the remembrance of what? See, if we are his children, we will start to reflect his characteristics when we remember them. How does an alcoholic stop drinking? He remembers where the line of holiness is. And you can go back to verse 4 if you would. Well, why would you bring that up? We're all Christians, right? But there's still a challenge. Sometimes people forget and they let their foe of the flesh triumph over the real them. Now, how are we going to let go of that? We're going to have to start remembering who God is and what holiness is. Really means holiness is not long skirts and boring entertainment. Holiness is not bad haircuts and poor understanding of music. That's not holiness. What holiness is ask a sinner. They'll tell you. Let somebody catch Bishop at a bar. Man, your preacher's at the bar. And? Man, that ain't right. Preachers shouldn't be doing that. Go to the movies. Let them catch Bishop there. You want to know what holiness is? Anything that you would do with your bishop present is probably holy. Anything that would make you go, Bishop's here, probably unholy. I'm smiling as I'm trying to help say the things that my friend will say, but you don't get to ignore, even though sometimes you do. Oh, he's just Bishop. No, he's a man of God sent here to bring revival. But that can't happen if we stay bound and forget about God's holiness. How holy is God? Yes. We rate things in levels, like how tall is the mountain? X amount of feet. How tall is God? Yes. Just is. Who should I say sent me? I am. Well, what's bigger than I am? I am is. Wait, well, hold on. Wait. So you're bigger than yourself? Yes. The entire universe, all that is, sits in the span of his hand, constantly expanding at over the speed of light, they found. They used to think it's at the speed of light. No, no. The universe is expanding faster than the speed of light. It's at the speed of God when you think about it, which is faster than we can still comprehend. And once they have a different way of really understanding how vast the universe is, they'll go, oh, so there's more out there just because he said it, and we're just now starting to catch up with the light that got out there. Hey, dude, that's deep. He's just bigger. He's just stronger. He's just purer. They say that the streets that are paved with gold in heaven will be translucent. Why? There's no impurity in it. And when you understand who you are, I tell my children often, you're a Lambert, we don't do that. And I have them remember who they are. When you remember who you are, you stop doing drugs. You don't need them, because tomorrow's going to get better. What are you trying to escape when you're a winner? Oh, he's a heathen. Change your confession. Don't be the foe to your own family. How's your son doing? Oh, he's delivered. Wait, I just saw him on the corner with a needle in his arm. Yep, delivered. Because we speak things that are not as though they were. We don't speak things that are as though they weren't. We speak things that are not as though they were. Because that's how we're going to be creative. But you have to be pure in your motive. If your concern is that I'm going to be looking at your kid wrong when he comes in straight from the street, motivation's wrong. Then I have my foe to you. But I want to see you get free. And just as a side note, kids don't bother me. I'm glad they're in church. I'm glad they're making noise, because they're making noise in church. They're not at home wasting their life. Because the ones that stay at home are the ones that get to go visit at the courthouse and at the jailhouse or at the mortuary. So, like, if your kids get up and dance in the middle of the church, woo, they'll keep dancing forever. How do you know? I'm tired today from dancing in church yesterday. Like, I can't dance like I used to dance. Like, I get in better shape so I can praise God like I want to. Why would you bring that up? Because I remember his holiness. Because if he's holy, he's never sick. So if he's not sick, then I don't get to be sick. Is depression a part of holiness? Oh, okay. So if I'm going to be holy as he is holy, I cannot have my joy defiled by depression. Oh, you saying depression's not there? No. I'm saying that we have to speak things that are not as though they were without taking the presumptuous point of denying what is. When's the point that you come off your medicine? When you don't need it anymore. So if you're taking something for a condition, take the Jesus model. Go to the physicians. Let them declare you clean. Well, why would you bring that up? Because the devil's been beating you up. How do you know? I got some physical ailments. I've laid hands on people across the nation and seen them miraculously jump up. I've laid hands on dead people and seen them come back. And then had a head cold that almost took me out. Well, how did that happen? Not even my concern. I'll just keep speaking healing, and the head cold apparently went away because I didn't die. And then we keep preaching the glory of God. Because God never gives up, because he's holy. He's holy. It just doesn't change. Oh, because he's strong. No, he's strong because he is holy. There is no shadow of turning with him. He just keeps moving the direction he's moving. Why? Because he is pure in everything. Well, why would you keep bringing up holiness? Because you are. You are. You're not trying to be. The sanctification process, I believe and am convinced, is a process. But he declared you clean, so he declared you holy, so you're just trying to live out what you've already been declared. But we have to choose to let go of some things. But go on to verse 5. And we're almost done. Verse 5 does not exist in this version of the Bible. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. Now, this is a text I've preached from a lot, just because as a preacher, there's certain sounds you can make, like you do that. And joy comes in the morning. Don't you know that he's always with you? He'll never leave you. Everybody's like, woo! Oh, oh, yeah! And they're just with you. They're just feeling something churning. But I'm not with you in your dark time. When you're sitting there with a crack pipe, doesn't come. You don't get to have the 6.5, 255 come sing it as well at really high volumes. So God gave us a command. For his anger endureth but a moment. Now, for you to understand that, raise your hand if you ever sinned. Okay, just making sure, because everybody who didn't, liar. But for the rest of us, God was angry that you sinned. But his anger was just a moment. That is past. So if God's not mad about what you did to him, why are you still mad? That's why we can't do testimony service like we used to. First, giving honor to God and to Bishop and Pastor Janae, I'd like to thank y'all that I don't drink whiskey like I used to drink it. I don't chase them women like I used to. Praise be the name of the Lord. And then you have my kid sitting in the back like, Daddy, what's whiskey? Why was he chasing women? Just about everything I learned about, no, that's a lie. Everything I learned about sin, I learned from Christians. They spent so much time giving the devil glory over the trap he set for them because they never let it go and they never forgave their own self. And we're going to go back to that first scripture in just a moment. But weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now that cometh is parenthesized here, but if you have a King James Bible, it's italicized, which means the editors added that so that you would understand it, which confused you. Now let's just read that last part after the colon without what's in parentheses. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy in the morning. See, and if you can turn this up not my microphone, but if you can turn the music up, because I think we might have to shout because we're Pentecostals, right? Because I like to study some things. Because just telling y'all what y'all could pick up is nice, but it doesn't really help our cause. See, when it says, but joy in the morning, joy doesn't mean a feeling. Because weeping may endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning. Everybody's happy? No, joy's not coming. It's not UPS. It's not from Amazon. You didn't get like a prime shipment of joy and it shows up in a container and you're like, woo, joy's here, and you drink it. Joy is a verb. Joy is a verb meaning to rejoice. And to rejoice means to dance like little children. Y'all, like, how many of y'all grew up in Pentecost? Just so I know. Grew up in a Pentecostal charismatics. So you know the Pentecostal two-step that adults did? Y'all know about that? Yeah, that ain't what it's talking about. But you remember when folks used to get really saved? When the sinner husband that used to get a plate from all the fellowships would, y'all remember, anybody remember sinner husband plates? After the church feeding, you take a plastic box home to the husband that wouldn't come to the church, but you got food anyway. And then he'd come and he'd get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that with a mighty burning fire. And then the dance that wife would do when her husband got set free, that's rejoicing. When that kid who had been gangbanging came in and got set free, burned up his colors, the dance that the mom and dad did, that was rejoicing. Y'all remember that when you tried to look, where'd his coat go? No one ever saw the coat disappear? Bobby Penn's going, am I the only one? See, that's rejoicing. See, hopping and skipping is what we did because we were worried about dancing. Why were we worried about dancing? Because we couldn't control it. And as leaders, we didn't carry enough anointing to say, no, let the people do whatever they're going to do with God. God will fix that. How do you know? Folks, my camp, folks get too worldly, Holy Ghost lay them out. It's like, what happened? Yeah, it was, that dance wasn't appropriate, so God took care of it. And they got up and danced different. What? Y'all think I'm kidding? This is our reality. But we decided to come up with, here's how you dance. And so we took the rejoicing out. And we took the rejoicing out, which got rid of the joy. And without the joy, we had no strength. And then the people didn't want to come to church. And then the charismatic Pentecostal kids were getting divorced at the same rate and had the same level of addiction as the center kids. And we couldn't figure out why no one wanted to come to church, because your product didn't work. But today, we're going to have to joy for a little bit. Now, joying, because joy is a verb, means to cry out. Now, when people cry out, anybody ever been to a real concert? How do you know it's a real concert? It costs you more than $25. If it costs you less than $25, it's not a real concert. It's somebody trying to get a big room. But a real concert costs you some money, and you went. And before the main act came out, they started screaming his name. Today, we're going to have to joy. If you want Jesus to really come in the morning, because he's the joy of our desire, we're going to have to holler. We're going to have to dance. We're going to have to spin. We're going to have to joy. It means to get happy. Who were the angriest people in the entire world? Pentecostals. How did you know? I went to church, and they were always mad about something. If you had the president they liked, they were mad at Congress. Had the Congress they liked, they were mad at the president. They're just mad. Verily, verily, Jesus is soon to come. And I'm sitting there going, please, Jesus, come. These people are so mean. Everything was wrong. Everything was sin. Nobody could have fun. Then we sit in churches now crying out for revival, and we got to get the bitter taste out of their mouth. So we got to smile. Try it, everybody. Smile. Smile. Almost there. Almost. Almost there. Almost. Oh, almost. Almost. Keep going. Almost going. Almost going. Okay, I'll help you. Two badgers and a duck go into, see, that's it right there. She just got it. See, I didn't even have to finish the joke. Two badgers and a duck. I don't know how that would end up to be funny, but it worked. That's what you have to have on the inside if we're going to have revival. Because joy is always present, but you get to determine when your new day happens. When you lay down is one thing. And when you go to Mark 11:25, early in the morning, I will seek him. How do we seek him? In prayer. How do we get to God? In prayer. So when you rise up early in the morning, forgive. And that's what all that we talked about was for. We've been talking about how in the world we're going to have revival. We got to forgive. Who do we have to forgive? Yes. You got to forgive every politician. You got to forgive every preacher. You got to forgive your wife. You got to forgive your husband. You have to forgive your kids. You have to forgive that strange uncle that did weird things. You have to forgive the person who hurt your wife or husband. You have to forgive if we're ever going to have joy in the morning, because Mark 11:23 does not work without Mark 11:25. Well, I want the mountains to move. Forgive. Well, Bishop hurt my feelings last week. Forgive. Forgiveness, when you go study it in the Greek, has nothing to do with you feeling better about it. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. Neither did Jesus. How do you know? Go back to the garden. Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. And the cup, as you all know, was the bitter cup, which was the sign of infidelity. The woman caught in adultery would have to drink the bitter cup from the soot and the ash and the dust found in the temple, swept into a cup, which would make the bitter cup, and they would drink from that. And if she conceived and had a boy, she hadn't been cheating. And if she did not, she was to be stoned because she was wrong. Which is why it's significant that Jesus was called the firstborn. Is this making sense, Bishop? Because he got on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And right before we leave, you are designed to revolutionize this region. But for that to happen, you have to forgive. Because if your family knew you were going to pay for their retirement, would they have hurt you? If your friends knew you were the one that would get their kids off of drugs, would they have talked bad about you? If your husband had known you were the one that would be changing his undergarments when he was too old and could not take care of himself, would he still have cheated on you when y'all were in your 20s and you're still holding a grudge? But now's our time to forgive. Because if you want God to move, you got to take the target off of you. How do I make myself a target? Walk in unforgiveness. It'll make you bitter. It'll kill you. And you'll die without the ability to lead people to Jesus. Because you never forgave God for when grandma died. Well, I prayed and she died. How old was she? 90. What are you mad about? Tell y'all a quick story. My wife and I lost a baby. We know where the baby is. But to us, it was a loss. And we had a moment in the car after they told us there's no heartbeat. We're done. And so if you ever wonder if I'm pro-life, I think that's the only position. Everything else is murder. It's like, are you pro or anti-murder? And that's not trying to be political, because the rest of my leanings are as biblical as we can make them. But yeah, after you've had your heartbeat disappear, I don't understand it. I just don't. But after the doctor talked to us, we went to the car and we just sat there. Why did we just sit there? God was keeping me from speaking foolishly. Because in the moment, it was, God, you had the ability to stop all of this. But I'm hurting so bad, I don't have any words. So I stopped, and we cried. Which was our night. And then we went to church and danced and shouted like nothing happened. Why? God never did anything to me. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and I say no. What we're doing today is I'm stopping and talking, because we can holler. We can holler. I know how to holler. But we have to get to the "it is well" point, where whatever happens, we're moving forward, and I'm winning souls this week. Well, how do you win souls? I bring them to church. No. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, do we want people to get saved? Don't worry about the 30-paragraph doctrinal statement to get them into the kingdom. Stop people at Burger King. Hey, do you know Jesus? Why? I'm not going to let my region go to hell. And for what's inside of your bishop to happen, you have to create more soldiers. Generals make what? Generals. Soldiers make soldiers. How many of y'all are soldiers? And like, we're really just about done. Because the game has to move from a bless me club where we come in and shout at each other for a couple hours on Sunday, go home like we did something. Oh, you're saying we're doing bad things? No. I'm just saying there's more. But we have to get free of the bondage of unforgiveness. Well, why do you bring this? It's a choice. If you'll let go of the unforgiveness, you'll have your joy back. What does your joy look like? When the Holy Ghost comes, you stop crying. What do you mean? You feel the Holy Ghost come and you just start crying. Oh, I just weep. Why? Weeping stops when you get up. You get up to do something. Get familiar with the presence of God. You said be familiar with God. No, get familiar with his presence. If not, you'll be stuck there staring forever. and our generation will go to hell. As we go to preacher conventions, as we go to conferences, and we talk to people, and they go, what are you guys doing at church? Well, we had a glorious time. Well, what happened? Inside of you is healing. Inside of you is freedom. Inside of you is everything that your family needs. Everything that your husband needs is on the inside of you. Everything that your wife needs is on the inside of you. Everything that your children needs is on the inside of you. But you have to choose to let go. Well, what do you mean? Everybody you're mad at is getting free right now. You're going to let them go. Well, you don't understand. I'm a black man from Arkansas. If I wanted to be mad and or offended, I got some stories. Yeah, I know a lot of Klan. I know people described as good Klan. I did not know there was good Klan until I moved to Texas, and they explained there's good Klan. But I want all of them born again. I want all of them filled with the Holy Ghost, and I want our kids and grandkids to grow up around each other in the loving presence of God. Well, what about them Muslims? Stop listening to the news. They're looking for a God the same way that our Jewish brothers are. They just haven't found him yet because we've been in here shouting at each other. But that day is over. Well, what do you mean? I feed Muslims every week. Hey, man, I can't have that hot dog. Oh, no. It's good. All beef. Why would you do that? Because with kindness, I will draw them. Why are you bringing this up? Your region is filled with people that don't know God. But because you took on someone else's offense, some people are mad at the Japanese over a war that ended 70 years ago. Get over yourself. Don't be that person, or you'll be like Peter and disappear from history. Remember, I'm sure Bishop's teaching us in Bible college. Peter had a racial issue, disappeared from the Chronicle. God's not going to play that game. The word for your church is exponential growth based on exponential increases of love. This will be a place known for love. Amen. In your marriages. Now, I was driving, and God's like, no, here's don't preach all this other stuff. Tell them if they will joy and walk in forgiveness, there won't be room for the people in the next building. And you haven't told me about the next building, but the next building is not big enough. But it'll be the next step, because I think you're already looking at different ideas and seating plans and God's showing you stuff. That's a staging area. That for your next move, that will be a newborn diaper. Which, if you ever had a baby, you know they won't be in them long. Actually, most of my kids got here and they just never fit. It was just a suggestion. It was just a covering. And that's what you're doing, because this is the baby version. Right now, this is just a few of the cells that will explode when we choose to forgive. Why do you keep going back to that? Because there's a spirit of bitterness that runs deep in this region. How do you know? I got across the bridge. And you can taste it. People are just bitter. What are they bitter about? They don't know. They're just bitter. He's a Richards, I'm a Lambert. That's what we are. These people are bitter. We have to get them born again and pulled into the kingdom so that they can forgive. You ask somebody a question, they're angry about something. What are you angry about? Blah, 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 blah. That doesn't affect you. You got folks mad about food stamps. And either someone's giving them something for free or they don't need them. That's not your issue. Let it go. Forgive. They're taking all my tax dollars. Give them more. Government's going to take them anyway. Because whenever like my tax bill comes, I was like, oh, God, look what you got to do. Let's go fishing. Bad preacher joke. Only because this is the point when you get to decide whether you're going home free or you're going home bound. Now, if you're going home bound, there's no joy. If you want, Bishop, because I'm fine either way, because this is grown-up church. Like I would love if it was other people's. I go in and I entertain, and we have the track that I play, and it's all pretty, and everybody feels like all emotional, and we have this. No, let's not play games. And I'm not going to single anybody out because I'm not going to grandstand. I'm going to lay hands, and some of you are going to hit the ground, and some of you, your life's going to change. Oh, we don't believe in that. You don't have to, but you're still going down because you're going to have to let go. Well, I teach against that. Well, the bishop teaches against it, then we'll fix it next week after you get up out the floor. Because you're going to have, your price for joy is letting that person go. Who's that person? The face that you keep seeing right now. Well, Dad used to beat Mom. Forgive. Oh, that was horrible. Yep. Sure was. I've had to walk child molesters and rapists through forgiveness of themselves, and they were there. I've had to take daddies through forgiveness over their children getting murdered. And then they got joy back. Your weakness level is in direct correlation to your joy level. You're tired of being weak. You're tired of going back. You're tired of backsliding. You're tired of slamming your thumb and dropping F-bombs. It's because we have a forgiveness issue. You're going to have to let the pain go. Well, I'm delivered from everything. Are you? What do you dream about? You ever wake up screaming? Some of y'all haven't slept good in 10 years. Today that changes, if you want it. Now, if you don't, that's fine. I'll drive home in a little bit after lunch. And if it's not a good sermon, then I guess I'll get McDonald's on the way home. But we have to choose that we want joy more than we want the unforgiveness. Your unforgiveness does not empower you over that person. They have triumphed over you. They have branded you. You've been tattooed with their name on your life, marriage, and children. Don't give anybody that level of power. And so I guess with no music, well, that's un-Pentecostal of you. Nope. I'm at my friend's church. We're family. This way we'd do it if we were in the living room. You mean you talk like this in your living room? Yeah. That's how my church ended up growing. Because people would be at my house like, oh, you're tore up. Let's get you fixed. What? Your dad. No, stop screaming. You're going to scare my kids. Let's get you free. Now, we're not going to single people out. If you are walking in unforgiveness, any level, now is your moment to get free. Like right now. If you want that, I'm not going to count. I'm not going to ask for hands. I'm going to tell you to come get it now. We don't need the music. I'll wait for just a second. Don't play. Please don't. It's that moment. It's sitting all of you. They broke the ice. If you're still bound, come now. Your children need you to get free. Your grandchildren need you to get free. There is no tolerated level of unforgiveness. There is no tolerated level of anger. There's no tolerated level of revenge. Well, I just want to get even. If there's people you want to get even with, people wronged you for money, get up here quick because you're still holding that.